Continuation, Freedom, track one. I have to make up what the heck to call it before I can name stuff. Yeah. It's like, what the heck was this tonight? Oh, yeah, I remember. It's the continuation thing. So, hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, Scott.
I can't believe you just did that from the front row, too.
I said, good evening, Scott.
Oh, I thought I heard Scott.
Oh, no. After you're not Scott.
No. Yeah, there you go. That fixed it. Well, I am majorly excited about the whole prospect of what we're going to do in this training. Just because when guidance won't let me do what I thought I was going to do, and it says, no, you're going to do this instead, I figured they've got plans for us. I got stick people down. Pretty soon I'll be able to draw clouds, too. We're working on it. So, if you all would,
everything is energy,
every non-thing is also energy. Your thoughts are energy, those thoughts in the back of your mind are energy, how you carry your thoughts is a reflection of how you carry your energy, how you carry your energy is reflected by how you carry your thoughts, it's also reflected by how you carry your body, it's also reflected by how brightly you shine. There's a sh in that, how brightly you shine. It's also reflected by how it is you magnetize your world in place. Now, there's that funny place where people get stuck from time to time when they notice that what has come into their life is a bit of a stumbling block. It's like, well, either that stuff doesn't work at all because I certainly didn't magnetize this, or everything I've done has been swear worded up until now, because look, I'm still getting this. Yep, nope.
That's her.
You know, you may be headed to Yellowstone, you may have chosen the most scenic drive along, and along the way there could be, like, I don't know, a big and stinky cow feedlot that just happens to be what's along the way on the path you're taking. The weirdest part of the whole deal is everything about your path is you and is personal, and don't take anything about your path personally. It's only what unfolded as you unwound the tangles in the energy threads around you that those tangles, in other words, get referred to as your lessons. They get referred to as your life's purpose. I want to know what my life's purpose is. To quit screwing up. Done deal. Next question. No, or that's not accurate. I want to know what my life's purpose is. To find your way through the gunk that shows up while you're staying as bright as you possibly can. Well, what job does that mean I should do? Be as bright as you can. Well, then where should I work? It doesn't matter. Be as bright as you can while you work there. Well, what if my job does not feed my passion? It's not your job's job. I mean, really, I had to agree. I saw this great bumper sticker that said, I thought I wanted a career. Turned out I just wanted paychecks.
Exactly.
You know, your job's job is to give you whatever rent you guys agreed that they would rent your slave for. Every one of us is self-employed. Doesn't matter how many clients you have. All right, I don't know how to spell that once I'm standing.
O-Y-D.
Thank you. You can just imagine the people listening to the tape and going, what word is spelled O-Y-E-D?
Oid.
Oid. It must be one of those Sanskrit spiritual terms. Back when, you know, when the Jews were overtaking the Sanskrits. It became oid. That was probably politically incorrect, wasn't it? Every one of us, every one of you, every one of us is self-employed. You have a very neat and tidy little business called Your Name Here. Rent a slave. Now, unfortunately, most of you have a very limited inventory of how many slaves?
One.
One. Yep. Inventory of one. So, you know what? If I just got a shipment of 10 billion pumpkins to sell in my pumpkin patch, how tough a deal do I need to work on any one of those pumpkins? You know, if I got 10 billion pumpkins, if I can make 50 cents a pumpkin and get them all sold, I'm going to do okay this month. Make a difference in my week. On the other hand, if I've only got one pumpkin, I better negotiate the best deal I possibly can. So if I've only got one slave, if I am self-employed and I only have one slave, and many of us intend to only have one client called an employer, then you want to get the best deal you can for the slave. But, you know, what's the best deal you can? I don't know. Let's suppose I bought a fabulous dump truck. And one guy is running a heavy-duty construction. They're going to be taking big cranefuls of huge rocks and throwing it in my dump truck if they rent my dump truck, and they're going to pay me, whatever, $1,000 a day. Whereas the Chevy dealer has decided that rather than putting this year's modern... Are there still Chevy dealers? Okay, I just want to make sure I had a car dealership still existed. The Chevy dealer has decided that what they want to do is rather than put a car in their front window, they want a big, beautiful Chevy dump truck so that everybody will get the impression of just how sturdy a Chevy is. But they'll only pay me $800 a day. But it's going to sit on a rotating turntable in an air-conditioned showroom, and they'll start it once a week to make sure the engine stays fine. I don't know which is the better deal. Maybe you really like seeing rocks in your truck. You know, it's not always what's the best deal. It does not just come down to cash. But the key part you want to remember is you're the owner of the Acme rent-a-slave business that only has one slave to rent, so you'd better negotiate the best deal you can on the rental and maintenance of the slave. Oh, I can just feel people cringing. I'm offending so many people. Who knew that slave was now a bad word? Rent's okay, but slave... And so the weird part is only a tiny portion of the maintenance and care of your business equipment, right? If you're, you know, Janice's rent-a-slave company, what's your business equipment? Well, yeah, basically Janice, you know, the slave, right? The body you're renting out. Only a tiny percentage of the care and maintenance is the job of your client, even if your client is your employer. Almost all of the maintenance of your business equipment falls to you. It just does. And so we run into those weird places where the animal part of our nature wants to jump up and take charge. I've noticed I feel better if I do just a 20-minute walk every day. Oh no, it's actually dusk out. It'll be dark. I can't walk in the dark. I don't have a half an hour to go for a 20-minute walk. I've got sitcoms to watch on my TiVo. You know? I need to just sit and relax from my day, even though I know that if I go walk, I'll recharge from my day, and if I sit, I'll go, ugh. We get caught in that inertia factor to where all of a sudden we start to think that our subconscious, and I'll call it our body conscious, is the one that's in charge, and that we don't have a vote. You have the vote over where your thoughts go, over where your subconscious thoughts go, over where you allow your patterning to go, over where you allow yourself to give yourself permission to play out that pattern for the umpteenth time, even though you see you doing it with total and complete permission, or where you reorganize and refocus to re-magnetize you into who you are, what you are, and where you're headed. It's you. I mean, you guys, every now and then, it's like, it would be such a treat for me. There's two things I'd love to learn how to do. One would be, when I've got clients in front of me, what I'd really, because I can step in and I can be them and see the whole world from their perspective. What I'd love to learn to do, and I'm this is a genuine request, what I'd love to learn how to do is to be able to pop them out of them, put them in me, and let them see them from my chair. For 15 seconds is probably all it would take. 30 would be good. I'd settle for 15. Settle for, I love that. Let's see, I'd like a miracle, and I'd settle for it only being a huge miracle as opposed to a gigundous one. I'm settling for, you know, it's a negotiation here, guy. I wanted 3 minutes, we're down to 15 seconds now, okay? Anyway, so the first that I'd love to be able to let people see them from where I see them when I'm in state. I mean, it's a really sweet thing. I have clients that I've worked with over time, and when an issue shows back up again, they'll sometimes have these cute little conversations with me of, you must be the most patient man in the world to hear this again. And it's like, no, I'm in state. I'm just, you know, sitting in that mystic's place, watching God unfold in front of me inside of you and noticing that it kind of hurts right now, and we'll work with that. Got nothing to do with patience. Now, you want to find out about my patience? Make me call a support line. Then you find out about me. I ain't no mystic man. I try for it, and I'm reaching for it. Now that I've busted myself out loud in workshops, it's like, okay, get into that space and call them. And so the really cool part is the last two times I've had to call support for things, I've gone into that sort of reader state first, and it turned out that I got somebody that knew the answer, and they gave me the answer. And didn't just, like, repeat my question wrong. Hi, I'm having terrible trouble getting the, you know, A button to push. If I understand your question correctly, you're having troubles with your elbow. No. So now that I busted myself, I realize that that's a pattern where I would give myself complete permission to go into this incredibly purple, dark, smunched up state. I don't even have to track back to where it came from, but I know that now that I can see it and I know what it feels like and I can recognize it, I can work with it and I can disentangle it. You snuck in on me, Roberta. Mm-hmm. Hi. I got some threads to pull, so I'll just do that while I'm chatting. See, guys can multitask a little bit. As long as it doesn't involve television or sports.
Was she wearing a dress?
There you go. Hey, I answered that she was there. If you wanted the rest of it, you should have asked me. So literally for myself, it's like now I can recognize now that I've got the full breadth of that pattern, I'll start untangling. In fact, I have started untangling it, which is part of the practice of shift states before I go in. Because if I'm sitting in that centered state and the pattern comes up, I can remember that I'm me and the pattern's the pattern. Whereas before, I'd get on the support call and the button would get pushed and I would be the pattern and I would fully believe that that was me. And it was me acting it out, but I would fully believe that that pattern was me, and the frustration was me, and the vexation was me, and the lack of patience was me, and that just was who I was, and I had complete permission to do that. And for as long as I'd hang out in that pattern, I could growl about it and be upset about it, and then I'd pop back out and go, wow, why was that such a big deal? Does not require that you know where it came from. You don't have to know, you know, let's see, after 243 consecutive days of therapy, we figured out that my mom wouldn't teach me how to open the cookie jar. That's where it came from. Yeah, who cares? It's not what it's about. What it's about is get it unhooked so that it loses ownership over you, so that you're you seeing the pattern. You're you experiencing the emotions that go with the pattern, you're not the pattern. You're you having your emotions, you're not the emotions. You're you having your subconscious response, you're not your subconscious response. Coming back to center, back to center, back to center. And it's always key to point out, because there's that wonderful, what did Ram Dass call that? I don't have it. He described early on in his training, Ram Dass described early on in his growth with his teacher, with his guru, the path of renunciation, to where he could sit with his guru and study with his guru and get into these exquisite, exalted, pure states of cosmic consciousness. And then he realized that the path was to no longer allow anything in his life that would knock him out of that pure, blissful state. You know, like his dad, who would say rude and awful things to him, like, so, got a job yet? Couldn't have the father, couldn't have the mother, because they would take him out of that state. You know, and he says, and I've watched it, I totally agree with him, that you see lots and lots of people get on a spiritual path, and then they fall into this path of renunciation. Well, my friend doesn't keep me in that state. I got to get rid of my friend. My job doesn't feed my bliss. That can't be the correct job for me. And you know, I anybody that wants to, I'll do this consult for free. Anybody that needs it, you can just call me up or email me and ask me the question. Do you recommend the path of poverty towards spiritual advancement? Having tried it, you know, I'm comfortable to give my views on that. Not recommended. Popular, but not recommended. Very popular. Bizarrely so. And you know, I'll just put it this way, because there's a lot of, pardon me, but there's a lot of Judeo-Christian stuff wrapped around the path of poverty and having no ownership and not attachment. Now, it was wrapped originally around the notion of attachment, but then it got into this lack of poverty thing. But you know, when you see the pictures of the monks in their robes and when you see the pictures of the rabbis in their robes, are they frequently drawn as anorexically skinny? They're rather corpulent people. These were not people who were starving and broke, typically. There's a reason that the finest wines and the finest brandies have names of monks and monasteries on them. These people got the best stuff in town to drink, and when the tithing came, they educated everybody that when you're tithing from your crop, take 10%, but take the best 10% and give that to God in the name of your local monkery. Monkery? Is that where they live? That's it. Monkeries. Monastery.
I like
monkery. Monkery. Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, it starts to sound like a commentary rather than just a wrong word. The practice is simple, but it's not easy. It's just simple. It's like, you know, would you like to lose weight and have a firmer, more toned body? Eat less and exercise. Pretty simple. Works for most everybody that actually does that. It's not easy to do, but it's simple. Okay, as it turns out, any of y'all that are wanting to do that, I think there's a wonderful publication out there by a man named Abravanel, A-B-R-A-V-A-N-E-L. Dr. Abravanel, and it's his first book, which was The Body Type Diet. It's got this little quiz in it, and then you go from there. I think he was really onto something, which is why it didn't hit as solidly as some of the better fads. Because you actually had to, like, you know, pay attention, which is simple but not easy. The path of awareness, the path of consciousness, the path of enlightenment, the path of spiritual growth, the path of unfolding your spiritual path is simple. All it is be willing to be all of the responses that you are while coming back to center and remembering that that's the truth. That's it. Now, unfortunately, that's really simple, but it ain't easy. wow, that was a long sentence, and then I go to write it with a pen that doesn't work. Be willing to, is that dark enough to even see?
No.
Okay. Be, that was just sort of fun to do. You always want to do that, it doesn't work, throw it away. Be willing to be all the responses that you have. I said it so well the first time. While continuing to come back to center, which is who close to that, right? Be willing to be all the responses that you have while continuing to come back to center the who you really are. That's it. Spiritual growth, consciousness, enlightenment. That's the whole package right there. It's just that most of the time we're busy being the responses that we have, or we go into that path of renunciation and we try to pretend that we don't have those responses, that we're above that, that we don't. It was so cool in the New Age community for a while. People got this wonderful theory that if one was on their spiritual path, one no longer experienced anger. And so you got some of the most covert, passive-aggressive, slick work going on as people with their jaws clamped shut told them how superior they were to you because they were not angry over how wrong you had been. It was pretty cool. It was not on track, but it was fun to watch. And very easy to get sucked into it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, not angry, not angry. Energy in motion, emotion, is all real. It's just real. It's not important. It's not. It's not important. It's just real. All of your energetic responses, all of the emotional responses, they're all real. They're not important. They're just real. Well, how can I say they're not important? Well, they're not unimportant either. They just are. It's part of the package, you know? I mean, skin is both important because you kind of need it to keep all the parts inside, and just skin at the same time. It's just skin, okay? It is kind of important because without that, you'd, like, you know, well, any decent horror movie and you're there. Keeps all the packages together. That, never mind. Just erase that. And all of it's just energy. It's all about energy. It's about energy flows, energy directions, energy alignments, and energy patterning. And that's what we've been working on. You guys have a background, and we're going to continue to build on the background. That's why it's a continuation. It's not a new series. It's a continuation. We have had a few people that have studied with me for a while. All right, I'll let you know that have gotten permission to join the class without having actually done the official other classes, but they're going to have to listen to some recordings and catch the heck up. Or you guys can just figure you're ahead. It's all energy. It's all energy. Everything is energy. Every non-thing is energy. It's all energy. It's just about energy flows and energy patterns. The thoughts that run in your mind are nothing more than the mental aspect of the energy patterns. The thoughts that run in your mind are nothing more or less than the energy aspects, than the mental aspects of the energy patterns. They look like thoughts, they think like thoughts, they act like thoughts, they brain like thoughts, they experience like thoughts, they take charge of you like thoughts. They're just the mental aspect of an energy flow. The emotions that run in you, the emotions that you experience, the emotional buttons that get pushed, the emotional patterns that you experience are just the emotional aspect of an energy pattern. They feel like emotions, they taste like emotions, they flow like emotions, they take charge and take control and self-justify like emotions. They're just the emotional aspect of an energy pattern. And how much light shines in your physical visage, how much light radiates from your body, from your physical aspect of yourself, is just the physical aspect of an energy pattern. So we did a lot of work in the earlier manifestation classes, and we've done a lot of work on Scout along the way, so that the process of what we've been doing is just tremendously different from inside of me. We did a lot of work to lay in some basic tools that we'll be working from. We've got tools of where your consciousness goes, where your mind goes. We've got tools of how quickly I can take you into deeper states of consciousness. Some of you may have noticed that. Small turn of a phrase, and suddenly you're sort of deep, so that we can work from those deeper states, so that we have that access. How much trust you've developed in your own ability to be willing to allow yourself to transform and transform in a beneficial way, to have a fortuitous change. So cool today. I had to go into the city and come back in both directions. I found a penny. I was like, yes, we are on. We've laid in the tools of miniature mental models to allow those smaller mental models to grow and expand, and we've laid in the tools of you having actually experienced yourself differently and looked at things differently, having had stuff get shifted around in your mind, the 3-minute economy exercise that, of course, we'll play again in the next series. All of those different pieces, right? We've put the tools in place. What we'll be doing in this next series is taking those tools and cranking them up. So there will be a little more work on your part. Just because, you know, I worked hard in the first series, it's your turn. I will be accelerating what I'm doing in the alignment work. Some of y'all that did the manifestation a while back, the alignments have just kicked up about 2 notches higher in terms of what I'm doing, in terms of some of the energy threads that I can see now that I didn't used to be able to perceive. No, that I didn't used to be able to discern I was perceiving. So that I'm pulling out those threads and those pieces that were sort of anchors holding in place karmic patterning. And that's exactly what we'll be going after. We'll be dealing with this life stuff. That's where it all counts. I mean, it doesn't matter. But what we're going after is the basic core patternings that have created the patterns through this life. If you would leave that ajar, otherwise we'll think it's occupied. Thanks so much. We'll be going after the basic patterns that have shown up and have repeated here, there, and otherwheres, if you catch my meaning. Okay? That's what we're going after, because they're replaying now, and some of them haven't even started to play now. Let's get them gone before you even ever see them in this lifetime, so that we can pop open an entirely energetically golden pathway ahead of you. What I'm planning. That's what they're showing me. That's where we're going to be going. So each week, just to give basic, you know, fundamentals, each week I will record it. Those recordings will be available online. Those of you that don't have access online, we'll make sure that you have a way to have those recordings. You know, we'll download them onto something. But people have found out that downloading them online is really handy, and you don't have to wait while we do it. You can hang out and chat and leave when you want to. But we will make sure that that's available to everybody. If you can access it downline, it'll be available there. If you want it on separate media, we'll give it to you that way. If you want both, that's fine with me. I don't care. I don't care. Doesn't sound right. That's fine with me. I am happy to do that. That's more accurate. So there will be the recordings. There will be some very deep exercises that we'll do. There'll be little bits of homework along the way for you to do as practices. You will be interacting with each other in the class as practices. Most importantly, there's going to be a small level of demand upon you to be willing to give up judgments you've carried about your inadequacy, your not enoughness, your a broken example of a human beingness, the dents, folds, spindles, and mutilations that you considered made you not as good as, or not as deserving as, or not as willing as, or not as capable as, or not as lucky as, or not as, not as, not as. So with any luck at all, ooh, bad pun, you're going to surrender into allowing yourself to be fortuitously lucky on a pretty consistent basis till you get like bored with it and it just seems normal. And then you just whine when it doesn't happen. It's Christmas time and I had to circle twice before my parking place showed up? What's wrong with that? I'm in the city and the meter didn't have money in it when I got there? Yeah. And so, you know, if that's not okay with you, then you're not going to want to do the series. It's pretty simple. So I'd like to check in real quick. Some of y'all did manifestation a while back. Some of y'all have just been rolling with what we just did. Just for fun, any places where you've been seeing synchronicity or your, we'll say, fortunes have changed or opportunities have shown up or even windfalls that have shown up? Anybody? Any places? Yes, please.
Oh, majorly. Yeah. I had a lady friend some time ago, and she was in a different space, I guess. So we went our separate ways. I looked at her situation. She had a very bad past life in the 15th century, which is causing symptoms for any time she got near a guy, basically, because she had...
And you being a guy.
Yeah, yeah. Even though I didn't have the whip and couldn't beat her. So, anyway, just a couple weeks ago, she gave me a call. I hadn't heard from her in a long time. Her cat died. I used to help her take care of her cat out in Maryland. So we've been very good contact lately. She's working with a psychic. No, really.
No, that's weird.
She told me. She says, I talked to the psychic. He says, you're all right. Well, that's nice to hear.
Cool. Cool.
Anyway,
so you've seen a reopening of a connection in a relationship that had been asunder, sort of coming back out of nowhere.
It's even better than it was, which is amazing.
Ah, very cool.
She's still in Maryland and I'm here, but that's fine.
Yeah. It's very
sweet.
Nice. Great.
So
thank you.
Texting each other, something I've never done. Texting? What's that?
Yeah, it's amazing those relationships. They'll force you to learn all kinds of things, won't
exactly.
they? Yeah. Cool. Nice connection has reopened. Great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Somebody else? Yes, please.
So after my manifestation class, I needed a car, and I always wanted a new Beetle. There's no way like I could afford a new Beetle, and I'm not from here, so I don't have like credit to go and buy one. So I babysit for this family, and they let me know that they're moving, like a couple months after, right? Let me know that they're moving, and they're going to need a lot of help. And they actually happen to have a new Beetle that they don't know what to do with it. So if I want, they will sell it to me for a really good price, like way lower than what's going out there. I babysat for them like almost $1,000 of that price, and that was the down payment, and they are in Israel, and I put money in their account every month, like a little bit, as much as I can, until I reach the price that we agreed, and it's just like, where in the world, you know?
Perfect. Perfect. She wanted a new Beetle, and everything fell in place to where people leaving town decided to sell her their new Beetle and be able to carry the paper, as it were, so it didn't even matter if you had credit in place. You could make payments to them.
They gave me the pink slip. Here you go. Just put the money into our account.
I love that. Well done. Yeah. Here's the pink slip. We trust you. We know you'll pay us. Yes. Perfect. Exactly. Don't you love that stuff? It's so much fun. Who else has had stuff? Yes, please.
Well, the music is really flowing now for me. It's been kind of a year and a half since I kind of went on this path. I've been playing music all my life, but it seems to be coming very natural now. Today I actually played in front of 200 people and did a couple of my songs that I wrote, which I've never done before. I've always played other people's music. So I mean, I'm at that point now, and I'm just going to use that as a little milestone and just go beyond that. So that's working. Thank you for getting me that far.
That's great, David. Thank you. He's played music for years, but his music is flowing more now, and today he actually played in front of 200 people, and instead of just covering other people's tunes, he went ahead and took the risk. Went ahead and took the risk and played his own songs for this group. So how'd your songs go over with these people?
They went over very well. I was the only person that played my music. Everybody else did covers of other things.
At different times than when you were playing your music, though, right?
Pardon me?
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just a funny picture in my head. I'm there in a band. I'm playing my song, but all the other guys were playing something else. I was the only one playing my music, but it went over really well.
Just a solo act in front of everyone.
Oh, that's fabulous. Out there solo. Good for you. Congratulations. Well done. 200 people is a step. Yeah, 200 people is a chunk of energy. The next step after 200 is about 1,200. Between 200 and 1,200, it feels pretty much the same.
That's what I heard.
1,200, it pops again.
Okay.
Around there, you know, everybody. Your mileage may vary. And your opinions expressed may not be those of the management. Anyway, who else? Yes, please.
After church, I was fighting myself about going out to breakfast because I had to go to work, and there was a time issue, and it was a money issue, and I was just had this, you know, dialogue going on, and I went, oh, all right. So I stopped, and I was, oh, no, I can go do something else, but I was really compelled to go to this place. So I was really busy, you know, after church on Sunday, went running in, sat at the counter, and the person next to me, we start talking, and we have some commonalities. And so his pancakes got sent back, or were going to get sent back, and I said, oh, I'll take them. So, because he put some syrup on it, he didn't like it. He goes, really? I said, yeah, and the lady was just going to replace them. I said, yeah, I'll take them. Then he gives me a little bit more of his breakfast, and we're talking, and I eat for free, and he gives me a $100 bill. Because I shared some things with him that were helpful, and he says, oh, here, this is your lucky day. And he gave me a $100 bill. No strings attached, nothing, it was great. It was like, great, and I've had a fortuitous change. I've had a whole bunch of things like that this week, just one after another.
Oh, wow.
That's fabulous. Summarize that one, Scott. Short version, felt compelled to go out to breakfast, sat down at the counter, ended up with a synchronistic connection with the person next to them in such a way that, you know, they ate for free, but in the conversation they felt that they had benefited so much that they gave you a $100 bill to thank you for it. Not bad for breakfast. Sort of makes you look forward to lunch, doesn't it? Yeah, be all right. Go out three times a day, hang out in a restaurant, make $100 each time, be okay.
Yeah.
No, I love that. That's absolutely beautiful. $100, that's fortuitous change. Nicely done. In God we trust. Cool. Who else? What else has been popping? What else has shifted? Where have you seen even just the simple synchronicities of was going to do this, did this instead, that made this happen, and this came out? Yes, please.
Well, if you're going to talk about simple synchronicities, putting off, I'm supposed to do like a 12-hour blood fast and then go in and get my blood drawn. I've been putting it off for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And finally, on Tuesday morning, I was going to go in and do it. By the time I'm driving up there, it's already 7:20. I have to be at work at 8, and I'm thinking, this is never going to work out. It's just too late. Well, I'll just go in and make sure they still have my orders and then see how the time is. I went in there. There was one person in the waiting room who went in before I sat down. It's the first time I've ever been to that lab and not had a wait. They called me immediately, and I got to work early.
Less blood, but early. Very cool. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Had a medical test you've been putting off, but your brain is trying to say, oh, I don't have time to do it. Now walk in, and you're just exactly in the flow, so that you walk in, and they're ready to take you right away, and boomity-boom, off to work you go. Fabulous. Cool. Did they find blood? Did you have any?
A little bit.
Cool. Perfect. That's always good when they can at least find some. Anybody else? What have you noticed? What's been shifting? What kind of things have you noticed? Even if it's that you broke your rhythm and something played out differently or better. All right, let me ask a quick question. How many of y'all are noticing that you're doing better with traffic more recently? Fewer times that it just jams up and stops you dead. Yeah, it's almost almost half the room. Fun, huh? I'm in favor of that. It's really cool. I love it. You know, that little funny stuff of... In fact, it's so much fun for me to watch because I'll yell at myself, and it's just so cute. I was trying to get out of the house. I was coming down here to do a radio interview. I'm trying to get out of the house, and I was running later than I expected, and I finally got out and got in the car and turned it on and got the traffic report, and between me and where I was going, there was some major fall-derall that was causing huge problems, and oh, man, and I was leaving later than I expected to leave, and as it turned out, it cleared just in time that I was at the tail end of the backup to where I slowed down a little bit, and then the backup rolled right on through. I barely slowed down at all. Had I left on time, I would have been in the middle of the backup and actually would not have gotten there any sooner and certainly would not have gotten there any happier. Y'all know my traffic thing. And instead, because I'd like not been able to get out of the house, one more thing before I get out the door, one more thing before I get, oh man, I'm just doing it all wrong, get in the car, boom, I just rode right on down in this really sweet cushion of because of course everybody had heard that the traffic was horrible on my whole route, so nobody, you know, everybody didn't leave home, I guess. And all of a sudden it cleared, I moved right through that area, came cruising right on down, and comfortably showed up in plenty of time to be there early for the interview. Just that sort of fun little stuff, you know? You start watching that, you start noticing that. It's difficult for me, so I assume it's at least that difficult for everybody else, to surrender into myself being accurately on rhythm. When I get jarred out of my norm, there's the part of me that wants to make me completely wrong for that. So I get alert to watch and see, did getting jarred out of my norm play out worse than usual, equal to usual, better than usual? We're going to end that track right there.